Hey, you want that to go?
We have a takeout straight from Egypt today. For years, people wondered what had killed 19-year-old boy king Tutankhamun. Many people suspected it was foul play, probably because that's the most interesting option. But it turns out it was much less sinister, although we still don't have all the questions answered. New research shows he likely died from a severe bout of malaria combined with a degenerative bone condition. We have with us on the show Egypt's top archaeologist and secretary general of the Supreme Council of Antiquities, Dr. Zahi Hawass. He pieced together the clues leading up to what we now know as the cause of King Tut's death. He joins us now. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. So tell me about the new technologies that were able to get you finally an answer on the cause of King Tut's death.
You know what? Using DNA and CAT scan machine to reveal the mystery of King Tut, before I will tell you about his death, I have to tell you that DNA revealed to us many important discoveries. For example, we found the mummy of Akhenaten, the first one who believed in one God, and he's the father of King Tut. We found the mother of Akhenaten, Queen Ti, and we found the mummy of the mother of King Tut. We don't know her name, but she is the daughter of Amenhotep III. I mean that Akhenaten, the father of King Tut, married his full sister. But the amazing mystery is how we revealed the secrets about his death. You know, in 2005, when I did examine the mummy with CAT scan machine, I found out that he had an accident a few hours before he died. But now we found out he had a severe malaria. And the second, he was not a normal boy. He was actually suffered a flat foot in his right leg, and also his toe on the left foot has deformities and was weak bones, and he was limping. And this is why
he was limping.
He was using sticks to walk. We found Howard Carter found 130 sticks in his tomb. It shows that the man using the sticks to walk.
Like crutches, he was using crutches.
Severe malaria.
Yeah, and you found the malarial parasite in his blood, along with signs, like you said, of bone disease. And King Tut may have been walking with crutches throughout his life. It's amazing the things that they can discover now with DNA using obviously centuries old blood. That is Dr. Zahi Hawass, the face of archaeology in Egypt. He's also the Secretary General of the Supreme Council of Antiquities.
All right, let's go from the science of ancient tombs in Egypt to the science of modern airports in the United States. Airport screeners for the first time will begin walking through airports taking chemical swabs from passengers and their bags to check for explosives. That's according to the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration. So is this a good idea? Joining us is Colonel Randall Larson. He's the founding director of the Institute for Homeland Security at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. Colonel Larson, swabbing for explosives in the airport, how does this work?
Well, that's something we've been actually doing for a very long time. Back in 1996, I was the commander of the fleet of VIP airplanes at Andrews Air Force Base, Air Force One, Air Force Two, and all that. We were using that technology way back then, the swabs. And that technique has been used by TSA for quite a while. I think one of the things they're talking about now is the fact that they use more behavioral detection officers. These are people who, in plain clothes, you don't know who they are, they're walking around airports in the United States, and they're looking for behaviors. I think sometimes we rely too much on technology, whether it's these new millimeter wave scanners that can look under your clothing, what some people call the virtual strip search. Very expensive machines that are not that difficult to defeat. But we've found great success in this behavioral detection. It's one of the things that's called the SPOT program, screening passengers by observational techniques. And we haven't stopped any terrorists yet, but you know, they found a lot of criminals, you know, drug runners, people taking money, people having the wrong passports. There's certain behaviors you generate.
Okay, but in this case, what they're doing, though, if I have it right, I think I've seen these machines before. They take a little sort of a gauze pad and they feel around on your bag and then they stick it in an analyzer. And if you've got bomb residue on your bag, it beeps, right?
Yeah, and like I said, that's not a new technology.
Right.
And TSA's been doing that even before 9/11. You don't see that quite so much anymore now because, I mean, I guess would really catch the stupid terrorist.
But this also, okay, the stupid terrorist, right.
I mean, you know, if I'm going to carry a bomb on an airplane, I'm going to have someone else pack it. I'm never going to touch the bomb-making material.
Okay, well, Colonel, that's my question, because this ostensibly, if they had it in the airport in Amsterdam, obviously not in the United States, this would have caught Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, the notorious underwear bomber, right? If they would have had that swab near him, it probably would have caught him. So is this just another example of American reactivity in security?
Well, you know, I don't know if he loaded the material into his underwear or not. I don't have the details on that. Like I said, it would catch the really stupid bomber, and but it's something we've been doing for a long time. I mean, that's nothing new. We were doing that in commercial airports prior to 9/11. You saw a lot of it immediately after 9/11. It was just expanded more. But frankly, I fly about once a week, and I haven't. Well, I'll take that back. I did see one since Christmas, but only in one airport, and I've probably flown close to 10 times since Christmas. So it's nothing new. It's out there. The behavioral techniques is a much more promising. I think it's a much better return on our investment.
Okay, well, let me ask you finally then, Colonel Larson, if behavioral techniques are superior, you're talking about the stupid bomber. Why can't a smart bomber or a good actor keep calm and get around behavioral forensics?
Very good question. The answer is this is their first mission they're on.
And they get nervous. All right. Colonel Randall Larson, founding director of the Institute for Homeland Security at the University of Pittsburgh, walking us through some, well, maybe not such new technology of swabbing your bags randomly for explosive residue, but new to the TSA because they're going to be using it preemptively throughout U.S. airports.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.